appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers for Paradise Mountain and being a part of that ministry as well. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about prayer this morning. And we've come up with, we've just had some time where we have, I'm looking for the clicker. I've got it. Okay, we've just had some time where we spent some time in prayer. And I think that's a wonderful time really to come together as God's people and have a few moments where we can pray for one another, where we can quiet our hearts. And I hope this morning as we look at, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. As we do so, and I understand Ben has been preaching on the Lord's Prayer, and up until a couple weeks ago was the last time, and then you're going to pick it back up in a couple weeks. And so I think we're looking at it in a different slant, but I trust that the Lord will give you some insight into prayer and maybe change some of the ways that you pray, maybe add some dimensions to your prayer, to maybe look at what is it that God is really having us do when we come together as prayer, come together to pray. We're going to talk about three declarations of prayer as we look in the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus gives us a glimpse a little bit, and those declarations give us a little bit of insight into maybe how we pray for our church and how we pray for other people. And we're going to try to get through that this morning, and I trust that the Lord will lead us and guide us. So as we get started, let's go to Him and ask Him to do just that. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we have as your people to gather in your presence. You are holy. You are mighty. You are awesome. You are above all. You created all. You control everything. Lord, you created everything we see around us, including the stars and the planets. You call each of them out by name. You sustain them and keep them in their place, in their orbits. Lord, you work in our daily lives. You are mighty, and you are awesome, and you are sovereign. And your presence is intimidating for us because you are so supreme. Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of all of your might and your majesty, we know that you care for us and you have a plan. You have a plan that you're working out in our world, in our nation, in our community, and even in our very own lives. You have a plan. And in your sovereignty, that plan brought us all here this morning for a message that you have for us. And I pray that this morning as we gather, that we would not hear the words of any man. None of us came to hear from a person. Lord, you've given us your word, and I pray that in the next few minutes as we talk, that your Holy Spirit would lead us in your word. That the message that's heard would not be words that are carefully crafted, but they would be words that you have for each of us. And just as you spoke at Pentecost and everyone heard their own language, would you please speak to each one of us right where we are and speak to us about our circumstances. We commit this time to you. We thank you for it and ask that you would work in a very special way. And we give you the freedom to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Jesus was a man of prayer. He was somebody that prayed and prayed often, and we'll see that in just a few verses. In my life, I have been very fortunate to have been surrounded by some real prayer warriors, most of them women. It's been about 4 years now since my mother passed away. One of the things that has been the most precious to me, and some of the things I still hold on to as we were going through her things, were notebooks that had lists of things she prayed for. And she's a little scattered, like I am sometimes, and so I think she would start a notebook and she would forget where she put it or something and then end up starting another notebook. And in a couple of those notebooks that I found, there's John and what she was praying for me. Precious. I can remember as a child my mom telling me she was praying for me. She would go to a group of ladies and there at a house, she would something, and all of those ladies would tell me, "We're praying for you, John. We're praying for you." I have a mother-in-law that many of you know who is a prayer warrior. I have a wife that, is a prayer warrior. It's no wonder that a lot of our prayer warriors tend to be women. I mean, women speak about 20,000 words a day. Men, we do about 7,000 words a day. And since prayer is about our communication with our Heavenly Father, it's no wonder that, women's brains are wired, and they have like a superhighway when it comes to talking and expressing communication, and men, we're like a one-lane country road somewhere. But when it comes to prayer, Jesus is an example that, men, we are even to be people of prayer. You know, we're told in Matthew that after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there all by himself, talking to his Heavenly Father. It says that when little children were brought to him, he would place his hands on them and pray for them. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said, "Go sit over there while I stay here and pray." After leaving him, he went up on a mountain to pray. He took regular time away to pray and to talk to his Heavenly Father. And then it says, on one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the entire night praying to God. Then it says, after about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. It was a habit. It was something he did all the time to pray. You know, I think we are to be a people of prayer. We're to be people that, just like Jesus on almost every occasion, and it's just commonplace for us to stop and pray. When we're people of prayer, there are some things that really characterize our lives. First of all, we believe prayer is powerful. If we look at James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. A good statement and a good example when we see this garden of prayer that took place here. Coming up, expressing our needs, expressing our shortcomings, where we need to be challenged, where we need to be encouraged, and praying for one another. When we are people of prayer, we believe that prayer is powerful. Do you believe prayer is powerful? Yes. I've seen God answer prayer in miraculous ways. Amen. Prayer is powerful. When we're people of prayer, we believe prayer is powerful. When we're people of prayer, we pray about everything. Everything. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we have a concern, when we have something we don't know about, when we have a question, when we need an answer, when we need direction, when we need encouragement, when we need help, when we need finances, when we need health, what do?
Pray.
Exactly. Pray. We are to be people of prayer. And when we're people of prayer, we believe prayer is powerful, and we pray about everything. And the other thing is we pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, every one of you can memorize this verse before we walk out of here. And I'll bet you can do it in the next 10 seconds. It says, pray continually. Repeat it after me. Pray continually.
Pray continually.
Now together, pray continually. I bet 90% of you have it. So we've memorized that verse. When we're people of prayer, we believe prayer is powerful, we pray about everything, and we pray all the time. In Matthew chapter 6, we're told, and I'm going to be reading, verse 9 down through verse 13, and it's there on the screen, and we refer to this as the Lord's Prayer. But it starts out, this then is how you should pray. So in Luke, the disciples asked, how should they pray? And Jesus gave them this word. Here in Matthew, Jesus just seems to insert it into one of the longest dialogues that we see of his ministry. And he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, that is how Jesus told us to pray. And if we want to break that down a little bit, and I'd like to break it down for you in just a little bit in the time that we have remaining, I want to give you three declarations that we really find here in this passage of Scripture. I'm going to break it down into three things, and I want to tell you, typically when we go to prayer, we can be very selfish people, and we tend to think about prayer from our perspective and from what we need, from what we want, from what we gain out of it. I told you, when we talk about we pray about everything, we tend to, when we have a need, we go to God and we expect Him to answer that prayer and give us an answer of some kind. It may be what He has for us. It may be what we ask for. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and we talk about three declarations of prayer, I want to tell you one of the major reasons that this is here is to say prayer is not about us, it's about Him. And these three declarations are there because they're not questions or petitions, they are statements. A declaration is something here in the South we might, well, I declare the sky's blue, really blue today. I declare it's so hot out there. That's what a declaration is. I'm going to state a fact. So in this passage of Scripture, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, we're given three statements. Not three petitions, not three questions, but we're given three statements. As we look at them, the first one is the supremacy of God. Declaration number one is the supremacy of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That is a statement. We are to pray, God, you are awesome. God, you are mighty. God, you are supreme. God, you're above all things. God, I have set your name in a category that is so different from anything else that I'm ever going to encounter. God, you're good. God, you created everything. God, you know everything. There's not a petition in the world in that prayer, but it's a reminder of us to whom we are speaking. If you were ever, how many of you served in the military? Thank you for your service. You address an officer in a very different manner, or a superior officer, in a very different way than you do your colleagues. And this is reminding us of God's rank. And reminding us of who we're talking to. That we are not talking to our buddy and our best friend. We come in here and this is serious business. And we're talking to the ruler of the universe. That knows every hair on your head. That knows every one of your days before every one of any of them ever came to be. And He knows what you're going through. And He knows what you're thinking. So we don't need to try to fool Him. He is the supreme. Amen. Above all. Beyond all. Beyond our imagination. And we come before Him and we bow and remind ourselves who He is. So the first thing that Jesus taught His disciples to do is to say, you know, God, you are supreme. Father, hallowed is your name. Hallowed means I put it in a special category. I consecrate it. I set it apart for things that are very special. Nothing compares to that. That is it. And so when we come to God, the first thing we do is declare that. The psalmist knew that full well. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name. Lord, you are almighty, all-knowing. We come to God and we tell Him who He is. That is praise. And it reminds us of who we are approaching and who we're coming to. The second declaration that we find is the priority of His plan. When Jesus said, this is how you should pray. First, you tell God about His supremacy. Secondly, you talk about the priority of His plan. You see, if we come in and we say, you know, God, here, I want to tell you what I need. I want to tell you what needs to happen. I want to tell you what I want to see happen. No, no, no. Lord, this is your thing. You have a plan. Lord, may your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. As it is in heaven. Lord, I want what you have in store. Lord, I want what you have in mind. Lord, I want to see you do your work in this circumstance and in this situation. Those are statements. Again, they're not petitions. And it keeps the focus in that prayer on Him and keeps Him at the very center. The third declaration of prayer, and this is typically what we are the most accustomed to. This is where we tend to live in prayer. And I want to challenge you in your prayer life to spend some time here in these first two declarations. The declaration of the supremacy of God, and then the declaration of the priority of His plan, and tell that back to God. Say, Lord, You are supreme. You are the highest. You're above all. Lord, Your plan is what is important to me. What You want to accomplish is important to me. And then when we come in and we talk about declaration number three is the dependence of His people, where He says, give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There are three areas in there that He talks about that I am dependent upon God. I'm dependent upon God for what I need to live. As I stand here right now and I am breathing, I am dependent upon God for my breath. I am dependent upon God for my sustenance, for my strength, for my nourishment, for the provision of my life. And this is petition, but it's in the form of a statement that, Lord, I am dependent upon You. And it reminds us that we don't, through our own strength, accomplish any of these three things. The first is our daily bread, those things that we need every day. Those are our typical prayer requests. I'm also very dependent upon God for my salvation, for being forgiven, for standing clean before Him. Nothing that I can do, He's done it. I have to claim it. Lord, You died on the cross, and Your plan, which has priority, is that I receive that forgiveness and follow You, that I confess my sins and follow You. I'm dependent upon You for my forgiveness. I'm dependent upon You for my salvation. I'm dependent upon You, the third thing there is, for my spiritual growth. Don't lead me into temptation. Help me keep walking and walking and deliver me from those. Help me to avoid those traps that the devil sets for me. I want to grow and I want to follow You. So I am dependent upon You. When we pray talking about the dependence of His people, which is us. We talk about the priority of His plan, and we talk about the supremacy of God. Now, in Jesus and following His example, He also gave us some insight into how we pray and how we pray for certain things. He prayed for the church. And, well, first, when those three declarations are true, and I think I've mentioned this, when those three declarations are the focus of our prayers, we find some things. We can have peace in any circumstance. We can have peace in any circumstance. Though the world be falling apart around us, we know the One who is supreme, and we know the One that made it and controls it. He has a plan for our life, and that's what we want from the very beginning. And if we trust that He's supreme, His plan is going to win out, right? So if the world's falling apart, that's part of His plan, and I'm okay with that. God, just give me what I need to follow You during that time. So when those three declarations are the focus, I can have peace in any circumstance. I can be satisfied with His response. It's hard for me to come to God and say, God, You are supreme. You are the highest. You are awesome. You created everything. You know everything. You control everything. You're in charge. You are supreme and awesome. How majestic is Your name. And Your plan has priority in my life. But no, God, don't give me that. When those three declarations are our focus, we can become satisfied with the response that God gives us. And we can have peace in that response and in whatever circumstance that response may create. Those declarations will help us keep that in focus. The other thing is our desires and our requests become more and more in line with His kingdom and in His will. Because we stop looking at things from our perspective and we start looking at God's in control and God has a plan. And now we start praying with that in mind. You know, it's hard to say, God, You're in control. God, You have a plan, but this is what You ought to do. God, I know You're in control and I know You're in charge and I know You have some intent and You're working something out here, but I have a better idea. when we can keep those three declarations in focus, we maintain peace, satisfaction, contentment, and we grow and we get more and more in line with His kingdom and His will. But Jesus did give us some ideas on how to pray for people. He prayed for the church in John chapter 17. And He said, here's how He prayed. He said, I pray also that those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are one, and I, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. I'm sorry, I'm having a rogue contact lens right here that's keeping me from reading it. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When praying for the church, here are some things that take those three declarations into mind, and also Jesus' prayer. The first thing about praying for the church is to pray that the church would acknowledge God's headship. And this sounds a little obvious, but there are a lot of churches that miss this. And the leadership misses this. And the church can get off on the wrong track and head in the wrong direction. So pray that the church would continually acknowledge God's headship. That's declaration number one. Pray that there would be a desire for God's plan, not man's plan. And constantly expressing that, Lord, this is your body. This is your church. We want your plan. Ask that the Lord would provide what is needed. Ask that the Lord would provide what is needed. Our church in Toccoa has had a time on Sunday evenings now. We're looking for a student pastor, which is a little bit different take than what we've had in the past. In the past, we've had a youth pastor. We're looking for a student pastor. So they're opening up the church on Sunday evening and having people come in and praying that God would provide the right person that we need. It's praying and saying, God, your plan is important. Please give us what we need. Pray for purity and effectiveness in advancing God's kingdom. It's part of what Jesus asked us to pray for. And then finally, may our unity be a picture of Christ's deity and love. Just five ways that we can pray for the church. When it comes to praying for individuals with these things in mind, we would look, many people view God with uncertainty and skepticism. You know your neighbors who sometimes say, I just don't know about all that. Okay, we understand that. We know that God wants them and everyone to be saved. We know that around and among us are people that are hurting. One of the things that I speak about as I travel around the country is I talk to any teachers in here? I talk to teachers about how to work with kids who have experienced trauma and are experiencing chronic stress. Those numbers, they used to say, are up about two-thirds of kids are experiencing that. Now it's up about 80 to 90% of kids are dealing with that. If the kids are dealing with trauma and chronic stress and it impacts their behavior and their learning, what does that say about the adults? They're right there too. So all around us, people are hurting. We know that. Many times God speaks to us through that hurt. We know that. The answer to the needs and hurts is God Himself. This is important. Not just our intercession. So when we say to somebody who's hurting like that, I'll pray for you, or can I pray for you, we have to understand that that is not the answer. They actually need God Himself. Now, our intercession is an important step to that. But so praying for others with all of those thoughts and the declarations in mind, we would say pray that those individuals might see God's glory, might, and love. That they might see His supremacy. If they come to Him with uncertainty, may they see Him with supremacy. Lord, let them see Your majesty. Let them see that You are supreme. May God accomplish His work and His life in them. God, do what You're trying to do with them. You know, if somebody does not know Christ and they go through a sickness and we pray, God, remove that sickness from them. Heal them. That'll be a great testimony for them. And God may be thinking that illness is what's going to be used to get their attention. You know, I stand before you and I have a pin in my tibia that runs in my left tibia, and that's what God used to bring me back to Him. So God uses those difficulties that we're going through for Him. So may God accomplish His work in them. May God provide according to His plan. Again, His plan has priority. And may they know God's forgiveness and be a channel of His grace. It's not us. God is the one that provides the means of salvation and forgiveness, and His Holy Spirit draws. So we pray to that end. And then also, may they be strong in temptation and know God's victory. Once somebody knows, that's how we pray. Lord, whatever they're going through, keep them from temptation. If the enemy is dragging them and trying to drag them into discouragement and doubt, Lord, help them to be strong. Help them to be strong. I love this thing. Help them to be strong and not give in to the enemy's traps. When the disciples asked Jesus in Luke, how should we pray? And here in this discourse in Matthew, Jesus gives those instructions. I want to challenge you to think about your prayer as not just petitions, but as declarations. Three in particular. When we pray for other people, when we pray for our church, when we're praying regarding ourselves, let's focus more on the declarations than on what we're seeking in prayer. He says, when you pray, you acknowledge the supremacy of God. And you praise Him for who He is. You declare the supremacy of God. You declare the priority of His plan, and that what He wants to accomplish is what's first and most important. And then finally, you declare that you are dependent upon Him. Lord, I can push through this. Or I can depend on you and allow you to work. Amen. I'm dependent upon you, so I'll allow you to work. Amen. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to remember those declarations. And as we close this morning, we're not going to sing a closing hymn or anything. I'm just going to ask you to stand, if you would. And together, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer as we close. And the words are there on the screen in case you have forgotten it. We'll all forgive each other if we do not close our eyes during this prayer because we want to, you might want to be reminded of the words. And think about this Lord's Prayer in terms of those three declarations. Okay, let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me close. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in your presence. And then we actually get to come into your presence and talk to you. Help us to never forget your supremacy as we enter into your presence and pray. Remind us of who we are talking to. Remind us of your rank. Remind us of your power. Remind us of your might. We want to submit to what you are doing and remember the priority of your plan. And then, Lord, I thank you that in your might and in your working out of your plan, that you have a heart for us that includes your love and your concern for our daily bread, for our forgiveness, and for our continued strength and walk with you. Help us to remember those things, to repeat them back to you, to acknowledge who you are as we come to you in prayer. We thank you for this time together and ask that as we go from this place, that you would take these thoughts, that you would take these words that you have placed in our hearts. Help us to live them. To live them in conversation as we come to you. Thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.